You're listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow, speaking at Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
The last few weeks we've been talking about the gospel, and we were talking about how we need to be reminded of the gospel because people will come in and they will subtly try to change the gospel. And Paul says to be reminded of the gospel, that we would know it. Okay, and so we talked about it, G-O-S-P-E-L, and we made an acronym. And so that we could understand the gospel, hopefully you guys are getting that in your brains and getting that on your mouths so that you can go and share the gospel. And then last week, Steve Woodson came up and he talked about having a compassion for the lost. And he talked about the story of Jonah and that we shouldn't just have compassion on those people that are kind and nice and the ones that we think, oh, well, they're cool people, so let's go share the gospel. But Jonah was instructed by God to go to the most wicked people that have ever walked the face of the earth, the Assyrian Empire. The capital was Nineveh. And he says, go. And do you remember Jonah was worried about himself and he was kind of angry with God. But God said, listen, you're worried about yourself, but there's 120,000 people that don't know their right hand from their left that need to be saved. He says, you see the external, you see the outside, you see the violence and the wickedness. I see the inside and what they have been through. I've seen them since they were little infants and all they were taught were wickedness and violence. And I love them too. See, and so we need to have a compassion for the lost. And so what do we do from there? What do we do from there? Well, today, those announcements were cool, man. End of the spear, Operation Christmas Child, giving the gospel, sharing the gospel. And that's what we're going to talk about, sharing the good news and how we do that. So we're reading in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and the Bible says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the message, the good news, this plan of salvation that you've afforded everyone, Lord. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that we would all look at this intently. God, that we would take an inventory of our lives and see, have we been sharing the good news? Have we had that desire? Lord, you remind me every morning before I'm going to get up on stage here that I'm inadequate to do this, that I'm just an average person sharing an extraordinary truth out of your word. And so I pray, God, and invite you to be here. I invite you to shape our hearts and open our hearts that we would hear your word and walk away from this, applying it to our lives. God, that this group in here could take ground for your kingdom. And so we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. So Paul here is talking to the Corinthians and he's saying, look, I have reconciled you. It's past tense, and that Greek word there is katalasso. And what it means is to reestablish proper, friendly, interpersonal relations after these have been disrupted or broken. pretty interesting, right? As we understood and learned and were reminded of the gospel, that because of God's holiness and because of our sin, there was a relationship broken, that we were separated. And God says that through Christ, He reconciled, He reestablished the relationship that He originally intended us to have between man and God. And He said that was done. The reconciliation was God's part through Jesus Christ. And He says, now you are my ambassadors. I'm making my appeal to men and women through you. I'm asking you to go out and be the ministers of reconciliation. That you would tell people, be reconciled to God. That is to accept the reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And then He says this at the end, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Right? Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves. And so when we stand in judgment before God, those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, He looks at Jesus and He becomes our righteousness. And that is the good news of the gospel. And so the question is, the question I often get, whether it be in team or whether it be in high school ministry, is how do I share the gospel? How do I share the euangelion, the Greek says, the good news? How do I share this? There's a couple things that we want to talk about first. A couple kind of ground rules, if you will. And the first is, we must have the desire to share. We must have the desire to share. Okay, so how do we do that? The first is this, we need to pray for yourself and others to have the desire. Steve touched on this verse last week, Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news, that is the gospel, of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then look what He says to the disciples. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. He doesn't just say, hey guys, it's all your job. There's these thousands and yet millions of people that are lost without a shepherd. No, He says, ask, which means pray to God, that He would give people the desire to go out. That means you and I should be praying for one another, that God would compel us, that He would give us that desire, that He would give us the passion to share with our neighbors and our friends and our family and the outer reaches of the earth the good news of Jesus Christ, that we would have compassion on them. So we need to pray for that. But secondly, we need to know the Word of God so well that you can't keep it to yourself. Know the Word of God so well that you can't keep it to yourself. We need to be on a quest to know the gospel, to know the truth, but not only just to know it, but to believe it. So much so, because if we believed it, we couldn't hold it in. If we truly believed that the blessing is in life eternal, and that, remember the grain of sand, that if our lives were contained in this one grain of sand, and the decision that was made in the one grain of sand determined where we would spend eternity in all the other grains of sand, then wouldn't we be compelled to tell somebody? Wouldn't we desire to save people? Wouldn't we? There's a guy named Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and he was a prophet. He had his ministry ran from King Josiah to King Zedekiah. It was 41 years, okay? Now listen to this. He preached for 41 years. Nobody listened. 41 years. Now this church is around 28 years old. And I can't even imagine that week in and week out, we stood up here, Pastor Kent stood up here, I stood up here, Steve stood up here, and we preached and preached and preached, and not a single person responded. Can you imagine that? Well, it was 20 years into his ministry, and he's preaching the Word of God. And the chief officer of the temple said, hears it, and he grabs him and he has him beaten. He has him beaten, and the Bible says in Jeremiah 20 that he puts him in stocks for a night. Now, I want us to picture this for a second. Jeremiah is sitting there, you know, in the stocks. You can picture him all beaten up. The next day, the Bible says that the chief officer of the temple let him out. And I can just picture Jeremiah all beaten, bloody. Not a single person comes to his rescue. Not a single person is praying for him. He's faithfully for 20 years preaching God's word given to him. And he's walking away from that. And he looks back at that chief officer and says, "You're cursed. You and your family are going to die in captivity in Babylon." And then he's walking, and he finally gets to a place where he's alone, and I can just picture him just like, "Ah! Gosh! Ah!" You know, and the Bible says that he starts complaining to God. "You duped me, God! You've misguided me! Why? Why am I preaching this? Nobody's listening. All I get is mocking and insults and get spit on and beat up." He goes on to say, "I curse the very day I was born. Why should I keep doing this? I want to just stop." And then he says this amazing thing in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. He says, "But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." He says, "The truth burns in me so bad that no matter what happens, no matter what happens to my physical body, I cannot keep it in. I must tell you why, because it's the truth. It is the truth. It's not because I'm trying to tickle your ears. In fact, everybody hated the message. They hated it. He was saying judgment is going to come. We need to repent as a nation." Everybody said, "We're great. There's no way." But he goes, "It's the truth. And whether I try to hold it in or not, I have to say it. The gospel should be on the forefront of our minds at all times." And 5 years ago, I had a kidney transplant. I was telling you that that 19-year-old kid at the time, Jeremy, he gave me this kidney transplant. Just an incredible kid. But we were waking up. They put us in the same recovery room. They want to create that bond. You know, I don't know how much more of a bond could be had when somebody gives you an organ. You know, part of the bloodstream. So we're in this recovery room, and you know, I'm used to anesthetics and all the painkillers and stuff because from, you know, the age of 15, I'd been in and out of the hospital constantly on different medications and stuff. And so I woke up and I was kind of, okay, I have my whereabouts, I kind of know. And the first thing I see is I see Jeremy, you know, perpendicular to me about 30 feet away in a bed, and he's kind of up and looking at the ceiling, and you know, I don't think he took to the drugs as well as I did. And so this nurse comes up, it's a male nurse, and his name was Valentino. And he comes up to me and he introduces, "Hey, I'm here to help you on your recovery. The kidney transplant went well." And I'm just like, "That, thank you so much. That's awesome." And then I see him walk over to Jeremy. And he walks over and I see him introduce himself. And Jeremy's got this towel half over his face for some reason. And right away, I hear Jeremy go, "Valentino, you need Jesus. You need Jesus, Valentino." You know, and he's like, all right. "Do you know him?" You know, and so Valentino walks away and I hear him still pipe off, you know. "Valentino, do you know Jesus?" That is so cool, man. Even in an anesthetic stupor, this guy, right, has Jesus on his mind, you know. And then he's like, "Somebody take this towel off my face." It was halfway on his face. And I was looking at him like, "Jeremy, your arms are fine." You know, just Your kidneys are here. You know, your arms can move. Take it off your face. But it was pretty funny. But that we would have the gospel on our minds, right? That we would have the gospel on our minds, that we would have that desire to share the good news. So we must not only have the desire, but the second kind of ground rule we need to know is that we will never make the gospel so attractive that everybody wants to submit to it. Okay? It's you see Jeremiah, you see all the apostles in the New Testament. Hey, listen, people do not like to hear the gospel, even though it's called the good news. Let's look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So he says, everywhere we go as Christians, we give off a smell. Okay? In a sense. And he's saying this, to the one, we are the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life. He says, you're going to smell no matter where you go. And it's going to be death or it's going to be life. Now, I used to go to my Oma's house when she was alive, and I'm Dutch Indonesian, so she would cook Indonesian food. You know, I would always tease her, because you walk into her house, and I'd say, Oma, it smells like dirty feet in here. What are you cooking? You know, she'd always be cooking some strange thing, which I absolutely love now. And she's, oh, Bri, tastes very good. Come taste it, Bri. You know, she would and give it to me, and of course it was good, but it stunk. And she'd go, no, it smells good. You know, it smells different to other people. The gospel, no matter what kind of lights we put about, how fancy we make it, and how palatable we try to make it taste, there will be people that do not want to hear it. They do not want to hear it, and it doesn't matter how attractive we try to make it sound. Unfortunately, there are people that do not want to hear it. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so when I was doing youth ministry my first year, I would come home and I would literally be kind of depressed, because I would speak week in and week out, and I would think, these guys are getting it. And then I'd hear about their lives and hear about the things that they were doing, and I'm like, God, why am I even doing this? Kind of felt like a poor man's Jeremiah, you know, for a little bit there. And God told me one day, you know, just reading his word, and he said, you know, it's not up to you. You think you're the one changing their hearts? You're just being obedient to me. And that's what we need to do. We just need to be obedient to Christ and let God change the hearts. And we'll find out a little bit more about that later. So, after we have those ground rules, we must have the desire to share, and we will never make the gospel so attractive that everyone will submit to it. Okay, we need to understand those things first. Now, how do we share the gospel? Now, we want to word this carefully, because, and this might be elementary to you, but the gospel can subtly be changed. And so the first point here is to be bringers. Okay, to be bringers. Now, just bringing somebody somewhere is not giving them the gospel. Okay, this is leading them to hear the gospel. Okay, we've established what the gospel is. Now, this is bringing somebody to hear the gospel. Does anybody know what Andrew, the disciple Andrew, was known for? He wasn't one of these guys that stood up like Peter and gave these great speeches, right, in front of hundreds of people. Or like Stephen later, or like Paul, you know, standing up and trying to prove from the prophets how Jesus is the Messiah and preaching the gospel. He wasn't one of those guys, but what he did do is really cool. He was always bringing somebody to Jesus. He's like, you know what, maybe I can't do it, but Jesus can. John chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And then in John 12, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip. So they came to the disciple Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with the request, sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. So this gets me. So Philip went to tell Andrew. So what's Andrew the bringer, apparently, huh? And Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. See, Andrew's the guy that's like, let's just bring him to Jesus. Let's let him hear Jesus. Let's let him hear about Jesus. Let's let Jesus do the miracle. In John chapter 6, remember the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000? Can anybody guess who was the one who stepped up and brought the little boy? It's Andrew. 5,000 men, doesn't talk about women, children, probably around 15,000 people. And Andrew says, well, there's a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Right? He knew that he couldn't do anything with it. He brought it to Jesus for the miracle. He brought that little boy to Jesus. And then he asked, Jesus, how are you going to do this? It's so cool, man. And that's how we need to be. You know, when I was 16, I was a new Christian, so I didn't really know. I was uncomfortable with giving the gospel up. And just kind of bring, you know, the questions like, well, how do I bring it up? And it'll be awkward. And my friend called me one day. He had been kicked out of his house, and he was living from house to house and friend to friend and backyard to backyard, and he got into partying and drinking a lot. And I really was praying for my friend. He was a very good friend from since I was in kindergarten. And he called me, and he said, Brian, can I come over? And so I said, sure. You know, I was kind of waiting for that call, like, come over. And I was praying, Lord, help me to share the gospel. I'm not very comfortable in doing that, but he needs Jesus. And so he got to my house, and I took him up into my room, and I pulled out one of these. Anybody know what that is? Does anybody recognize this? It was a cassette tape. I had to rewind it and wait 5 minutes. But it was a cassette tape, and it was Greg Laurie's testimony. And I said, hey, I might not be comfortable with sharing it yet, but listen to this. And I pushed play on that little square thing. And we sat there and we listened to Greg Laurie's testimony. He gave the gospel at the end. And that day I was able to pray with my friend to receive Jesus. And his life changed. His life changed. But did I know? I just brought him to the miracle worker. I brought him to hear about Jesus. So we need to be bringers. Listen to Romans 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now remember, this is right after Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's after this statement of faith and this belief in your heart. And he said, so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear with someone without someone preaching to them? Saying, look, they can't call on somebody they don't know. And they can't know unless they've heard of them. And they can't hear of them unless someone tells them. We have to bring them to hear the message. Okay? The second thing is to tell your story. In Christian circles, we know this as your testimony. Okay, to tell your story. This will lead them to listen to the gospel. Okay? Tell your story. I was reading in Acts 22 and 26. Paul was giving his testimony to people. But the coolest story is in John chapter 9. And many of you have probably heard this story, but Jesus is walking along with a few of his disciples. And he sees this blind man. And this blind man has been blind since birth. And so his disciples come up. And he sees the blind man, and his disciples see the blind man. His disciples say, Jesus, who sinned? Did this man sin, or did his parents sin that he was born blind? You know, it's funny that they said, did this man sin, and he was born blind? But Jesus says, neither. This man was born this way so that God might work in his life, and God might be glorified. And then he spit on the ground, and he picks up this mud that he made with his spit. He puts it on his eyes, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he goes and washes, and he's healed. He's healed, right? He's just experienced Jesus Christ. He's just experienced his power. Well, the Pharisees were not happy with this because they were trying to say, this Jesus guy is not from God. He's not the Messiah. He's a sinner just like you and me. And so they bring him in front of him, and they're questioning this guy, just interrogating him. How did he do it? He goes, well, he put some salve, you know, spit on the ground, put it on my eye, washed in the pool of Siloam. He's like, well, we know this guy's a sinner. He's like, well, I think he's from God. No, he's a sinner. Right? This is a guy that just experienced Jesus. And he really didn't know how to answer. Listen to what he says, John chapter 9. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. They cannot argue with what God's done in your life. They cannot argue about the miracle that God has done in your heart. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? And he says, I've told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear again? And I love this. He starts piping off. Do you want to become his disciples too? And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. He's saying, are you kidding me? How do you argue with this? I was born blind, and now I see. And you can't gather where this guy's coming from? We know that God does not listen to sinners. Remember, he's talking to the Jews here, and we talked about the sacrificial system. There's no communication with God with sin in your life. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He's saying, look, I was blind and now I see. I don't know how to answer all your questions. You know, I think of that today when somebody becomes a Christian and they're just so excited to tell it, and somebody's like, well, there's evil in the world, so how could there be a God? Right? Well, let me give you. No, we don't know the answer to that when you're a new Christian. He says, but look at what has happened in my life. I might not know about that question, but look what God's done in my life. Now listen, there are many people in here that have born or have gone through major tragedies in their life, or born with just a trial. See, Jesus here looks at this guy and he says, I will use it for God's glory. You were born that way. You went through that tragedy because I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. It doesn't lessen the tragedy that it is, but what it does do is it gives hope that even on this earth, we can turn tragedies. We can turn horrible, horrible, horrible things that have done to us into using it for God's glory. And we can say, look what happened to me, and look what God's done to me. We need to tell our story. So the last thing is that we need to communicate or verbalize the gospel. You know, we hear that saying, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when necessary, use words, right? Sounds like a cool saying. Another one of those really cool Christian sayings that you might have on your Facebook status or your coffee cup, right? Well, we need to be careful once again, because doing good works is not the gospel. At some point, we have to give the gospel. At some point, it has to be verbalized or read or shown, the gospel message. Now, it's great to live a good life. It's great to be obedient to the Lord, as we're going to see in the next verse. But that needs to lead us into the good news of the gospel. And here it is, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What's the hope that you have? Eternal life. What's the reason for having it? The gospel message. The good news of Jesus Christ. The hope is eternal life. The reason is the gospel message. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So we learn a few things here. And the first is this. We need to be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer, because when somebody looks at your life and they know you from before and they see you now, they're going to ask you, what happened to you? What happened to you? He says, always be prepared to give an answer. Know the gospel, church. Know the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't know it, get the studies for the last 3 weeks. Know the gospel message. Secondly, live your life in obedience to God, motivated by love. And we see that phrase, your good behavior in Christ. Now, this is where we do live obediently to Christ, so that people would see our good behavior and actually be compelled to say, why do you live that way? Why do you do that? Why is it that you have peace in the midst of this trial and I'm going crazy? Why is it that the world is crashing out around us and you have this hope and this smile and this joy in your life and I don't? Live a life in obedience to Christ so that people will ask that question. Third, answer with gentleness and respect. But do this with gentleness and respect is the words there. And I think we need to really take heed to this verse. And that is, we need to be gentle. We can't just argue with people and quarrel with them. And when they ask us a question, say, you idiot, look at the sun. How could you not know that there's a God? Right? I mean, unfortunately, I've heard too many Christians do those kinds of things. You know, they get all defensive and mad because they think somehow God, you know, is crying because somebody's, you know, has a good argument against them. Oh, no. No. The Bible says that we shouldn't even argue as Christians. That doesn't mean we shouldn't engage in conversation and even debate, but that we should be gentle and kind. Let's look at 2 Timothy. It says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Now, this might blow your mind, this next sentence. And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Do you see now why we don't try to use our eloquence and our wits and we're trying to out-debate somebody and argue with them and prove them wrong so that we can walk away and say, see, I showed him. I showed them. Because it's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle of the flesh, and it's not a battle of the wits. That we would be able to teach, that we would be able to respond in kindness and gentleness, and that God, not you, and not your wit, and not your argument, but that God would grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. God is the one who does it. And this is why we're loving and kind and gentle in our speech and when we're speaking with somebody. And I know our human nature is to kind of jump back and say, but. But instead, we love and we're kind. But we do answer the questions. So we need to answer with gentleness and respect. And the last thing is this, is that you will face opposition. There will be those who speak maliciously against you. They will. In fact, when you take a stand for what you believe in, they will call you haters. They will call you haters. But that's why he says here, so that those that speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Oh, they're going to call you haters to their friends and to everybody else. But when they get in your presence and they see your love and they see your gentleness and they see the dignity and the respect that we give them as Christians, and they genuinely know your heart, they're going to go, you know what? This person is filled with love. They're going to be ashamed of it, that they spoke so poorly of you. That's what he's saying. As Christians, we're going to be slandered. You see it all over the place now. We're going to be slandered and we're going to be called haters. But as individual Christians, we go out and we love people. We don't need to get all defensive and fight back and like, ah, you guys, you're the haters, you're this, you know? It's like, we have Jesus Christ. We have the good news. We pray that God would lead them to repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that we would love on them. And so, in conclusion, we need to make the most of every opportunity. And so Ephesians 5 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You know, I've always thought since I've been a Christian, every person I meet, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. There's a reason why God put them in my life. When I got out of college, I don't know if any of you have got into multi-level marketing. I don't want to say suckered into multi-level marketing because I would probably offend half of the audience here. But I'm in it now, so I'm going to present it to you. No, I'm just kidding. I have a captive audience. No, but I got into this, out of college, I was all gung-ho for sales, and I got into this diet pill thing, man. And it worked. It was crazy because it all got all you all. It was like crack. It was really crazy. Of course, I could sell it, but it was this diet pill. It was like ephedrine, and I think it's totally outlawed now. But you take it, and like you don't even think about food for 8 hours. All of a sudden, you're like, well, where'd the time go? You know. And I remember thinking as I had this thing, I was like, everybody I'd walk by, I'm like, I could sell that person. You know, I'm like, hey, you want to check out this diet pill? I got this diet pill. I got the information. I got samples. I got everything. You know, you want to see it? You want to see it? Oh, look, I'm losing weight right now. You know, I was all hopped up on this stuff. And I remember angling all the time, like that person, you know, that person could use it. That person needs it. That person could sell it. You know, every different angle I was thinking. I was thinking, man, if I just had that passion for the gospel, I mean, that we would walk down the street and like Jesus, we would look around and say, there are so many lost people. And maybe I can just reach some, but I want to reach people. My prayer is that as a body of believers, we would be compelled to reach people for Jesus Christ, to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we do that with kindness and gentleness and respect and love, that people would be saved and people would inherit eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gospel message, Lord. And I thank you the many years ago that somebody shared the gospel with me, Lord, that they were compelled to share with me. Father, I would pray, Lord, that you would give us the desire to share the gospel with others, God. As we walk along the streets of our community or wherever we go in the world, that we would have the desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, and secondly, I pray, God, that if there's anyone that has never put their faith in you, that today would be the day of their salvation. That today they would see the love of Jesus Christ and the fact that you have reconciled us to God the Father. We love you and we thank you for the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Kent Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcities.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.